If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to F1 Explains. This is the official F1 podcast, one of the three, which answers your questions and those in the F1 community about the sport of Formula One. I'm Katie Osborne. This is my buddy Christian Hugo, and that is Pato Award.
We will introduce Pato in just a second, but this is the Formula One podcast that exists to answer your questions on the sport we all love. We broadcast to more than 120 countries around the world, and people send their questions to f1explains@f1.com. And we're recording this week's episode in a very exclusive place, the F1 garage. Now, I'm British, you might have spotted. I would therefore call it a garage. In America, it's called
a garage.
The F1 garage.
Anybody else has a garage out here?
I can't. Thank you. We had this discussion on the ride in. I'm going
to
have to call it a garage. I'm from the Midlands of the UK. I just can't pull off garage. Apologies. But we can see out into the pit lane. It's a gorgeous sunny day. We're recording this week's episode at the Circuit of the Americas. But also, this garage has a bar in it. I've already seen the espresso martinis, which I'm extremely jealous of. So I might see if I can blag one of those afterwards. It has big screens where you can watch the race from. And there are lots of people here. Well, let's ask them. Are you enjoying the hospitality, everybody?
Yeah!
That's a good American
welcome. I'm really glad
welcome.
That we have a nice loud voice right in the front row
to help carry us. Hello, sir. You're very welcome.
Now, a lot of our F1 community fans have been, they're overall motorsport fans, right? That's where they come from. There's a tried and true love for F1, but I think a lot of people just really love motorsport as a whole. One of those is IndyCar, right? And some people might say, hey, I'm an IndyCar fan. I'm an open wheel fan. I also like Formula One, and we welcome all in that regard. However, we do want to make sure that we get the answers to the questions about some of the tried and true differences of race series like IndyCar to Formula One and other open wheels. So we decided to invite a driver by the name of Pato Award, as we have here next to us. So thank you for coming on board. Pato's not only an IndyCar race winner, three-time race winner. He drives for Arrow McLaren in the IndyCar series. He's also one of the reserve drivers for McLaren here in Formula One. Been in the Formula One car, so you really do know the differences between an IndyCar, say, and a Formula One car. Welcome here to F1 Explains.
Thank you for the invitation. Happy to be here. Like you said, it's a beautiful day for racing, and yeah, I feel very privileged to have had the chance to both, you know, have a sense of what IndyCar is like in all types of tracks, and same with a Formula One car.
One of the neat, special moments here with our F1 Explains community is that they get to send us questions. They send them via email, f1explains@f1.com. They send us voice notes. And we do have a listener question for you, Pato. It's Michael from the U.S. somewhere who says, I've been an F1 fan for about 2 years now, but I've been following IndyCar for longer. How do I explain to my friends the difference between F1 and IndyCar racing?
Ooh.
You got this. You can do it.
It's a heavy question.
We like to test our guests on this podcast.
We also really have a little bit of time, so go ahead.
I will say the biggest differences from one series to another is one of them is it's a spec car. So you will see the cars all look pretty much the same in terms of aero. All of the fancy stuff in an Indy car is actually what you cannot see. So it's all in the suspension of the car. In Formula One, you see all the fancy gadgets that have the different floors, the front wings, the rear wings. Like F1 is super aero configured in a sense. Like it's all about the aero, the suspension it was created. Even if it's maybe less efficient for ride, it is for aero. Everything is for aero, and that's why these cars are unbelievable in quick corners. And I will say IndyCar drives in four types of racetracks, which is super speedways, short ovals, street courses, and permanent road courses. Formula One only does two of those, street courses and permanent road courses. And, you know, in terms of just differences from one car to another, you know, you can definitely tell that the Formula One is a lot stronger car in high speed just because of how it's created. IndyCar has to be a bit more robust to handle 100+ G impacts in super speedways.
In previous episodes, we talked a lot about the steering wheel, maybe what it's like for a driver in the cockpit. Any differences from what you might be looking at in a steering wheel to some of the gauges and buttons you might have to push?
So actually what the driver looks like is pretty much all the same. So you have the revs, you have the gear changes, you have your delta, which tells you if you're slower than the lap before or faster. Gives you your lap time, and it can give you gaps to cars behind you and in front of you. So that's really what we look into, along with, I would say, carcass temperatures on the tires, because they're both very sensitive tires that you have to have in the window, especially in qualifying, and then for looking after the race tire and making sure that it lasts. That's something that you're looking at. But other than that, there's so many pages. But in the car, you truthfully just want to be maybe between one page and another. And then in terms of modes, you change around a lot of the similar stuff. I would say the F1, you can play around with a couple more things. But they're pretty straightforward, like, you know, engine powers and, you know, how much power you get with how much pedal. And you can get very creative with all that.
Just before we ask you another question, Pato, I should just point out once again to anyone listening back on our feed, back at home or in the car or on the bus, wherever they're listening to this, that we are recording in an F1 garage on the F1 pit lane. Pato, next door to us are Haas. We did have a word before and asked them to keep the noise down, given we are recording a podcast. They've really ignored our instructions, which these people need to get the priorities right. Yes, it's a race day, but we're recording a podcast, so apologies if you can hear some noise in the background. Apologies, Pato, if they're interrupting you. We'll be having a word with Aya Komatsu after the race.
You're good.
we'll have a word with him. We can only apologise. Now, you've won... See, there we go. Once again, it's very rude. You've won races in IndyCar. You've tested in F1 cars several times for McLaren. I just wonder, when you drive a Formula One car compared to driving an Indy car, what are the main differences that you as a racing driver notice? Is it in braking, acceleration, turning? Like, where are the big differences that you notice?
The Formula One brakes amazing. I would say the first time that I jumped into one of them, and I was used to just how hard you need to smack the IndyCar brakes. And it still brakes well, but when you compare it to what the Formula One brakes, it's definitely night and day, just because of how much more downforce the Formula One has. But I would say the braking in the F1 is phenomenal. And the change of direction, like if we're looking at that screen, that section is
good
unbelievable.
Pickup,
so, and just describe for our listeners, what are we looking at here, Pato? We're looking at a screen to our left here in the garage.
We're looking at the first sector in Austin, where you see the first couple S's are flat in qualifying. And I would say that's where, if you see the lap times from qualifying into the race, in a lot of those sections is where you see the big lap time delta differences from qualifying trim to race trim, because you're 100 kilos of fuel in the race. There's a lot of more body roll, and like the cars go 6 seconds slower. Like one or two tenths is like a world in racing. And then when you compare qualifying to F1, 6 seconds from qualifying to the race is astronomical. And I would say that is quite a big difference to what IndyCar is like.
And I just wonder, we're watching on board with Lando Norris, and he went through Sector 1, where, as you said, Pato, there's a lot of sort of fast twisty bits, if you like, similar for our British listeners to, say, Maggots and Becketts at Silverstone. Do you notice a difference between, I'm imagining, as a racing driver, when you're going through those sections at such high speed, you're wanting the car to cling on, right?
I mean, you want it to be on rails, basically.
Exactly.
But sometimes it does go south, and at that point, that's why you see the cars just fly away. You can't really catch it, because when you're going through that and you're committed, you are committed. But like, there's no backing off.
Is there a difference there between Indy and F1 in the way the car sticks to the floor when you're going through those high-speed sections like that?
Downforce, man.
Downforce.
All that downforce.
Simply put.
It's all downforce. That's truly what makes it feel like it does. And it does feel like you're on rails, basically.
When you have to be committed like that, there is a strength that is required internally, right? We talk a lot about physical strength, mental strength as drivers, and what you guys have to have. Do you notice a difference when you're driving, say, an IndyCar to an F1 car? You have to be physically more fit.
Yeah, you need to. In the F1, it's there's a lot of emphasis that goes on the neck because the rest of the car is it's got power steering, so it's not really heavy at all on the hands or the forearms. I would say the IndyCar is opposite, so it's a little bit less on the neck because you don't hit as high G, but it's extremely tough on the hands, forearms, and just basically all the upper body. Because you don't have that power steering, so everything that you're getting is direct. So if you notice, for example, in an impact in an F1, a driver can keep his hands on the wheel, but in IndyCar, you like right before you hit, you have to let go. If not, you're going to snap your
wrists. I did not notice that difference, that there is a let go, because that's a big conversation piece in racing about letting go of your hands in a lot of forms of motorsport, but you don't have to do that in an F1 car?
You don't.
Huh.
Depends how hard. If it's a very slow impact, you can.
Sure.
I'm used to just like right before, it's just you just brace and you just take
the impact. Hope for the best. Yeah.
Yeah. But I have seen I've seen guys come from F1 to IndyCar and they're used to just holding onto the wheel and then they have an accident and then it's like, well, they've broken their wrist.
Yeah, well, Daniel Ricciardo said when he crashed at Zandvoort in 2023 and broke his wrist, he said he knew it was one of those where because he was going into the tire wall, he said, I knew I needed to take my hands off the wheel, but couldn't do it in the time and kept his hands on the wheel. And as you say, Pato, broke his wrist. It's the split second decisions you guys as racing drivers are having to face, whether it's on track or sometimes, unfortunately, off.
Yeah.
Well, we know that in IndyCar, the super speedway, like you're talking about, the Indy 500, et cetera, those oval tracks really produce a whole lot of speed. But with an F1 car, you have those real long straights that you really do pick up a lot of kilometers for some people, miles per hour for us Americans. As it relates to being fast in F1 car versus that of an Indy car, what are some of the differences that really require you to be able to be fast in an F1 car?
The driving styles are quite different. In an Indy car, you can be quite aggressive with the car. I always say you can manhandle it a lot more and kind of really get greedy with it. In an F1, you have to be really, really gentle because that's what this tire seems to like compared to, like, maybe if you saw 20 years ago how Alonso's pole laps just looked so aggressive. It's a very different driving style because of what the tire likes. But the F1's definitely, with the same amount of wheel, IndyCar versus F1, the F1 is quite a bit stronger. Just because of the downforce, man. Like when I say downforce, it's like that is what makes these cars so impressive. It's just because everything is made for that performance.
You just mentioned looking back at Fernando's pole laps from yesteryear. You, I understand, and I couldn't be more jealous of this on a number of things.
That is a true fact.
Katie knows it's true. Apparently, you took the 1998 McLaren around Laguna Seca. Firstly, I'm jealous of you getting to race around Laguna Seca because I used to play on that track on the Dreamcast as a kid, showing my age there. You probably don't know what a Dreamcast is. It's a games console for old people, basically.
GameCube, like the GameCube.
Not far off, similar era, yeah.
We're talking about history.
I'm
we're
old enough
back.
To know about the GameCube.
So this was Sega Dreamcast, Nintendo GameCube. We'll do a different episode on gaming because I could talk to you about that all day. But the 98 McLaren, that's the era that I fell in love with the sport in the late 90s. How was that to drive that era of Formula One car compared to now? I'm fascinated as to how they feel differently.
Extremely agile. Super, super light. The cars are very nimble. The wheelbase is a lot shorter.
This is the older cars.
Yeah, it was Mika's World Championship 98 car. But the best thing for me was the engine. Oh, my God.
Describe the differences for us.
Oh, like, it's just as soon as... It was amazing to see how... Because, for example, with these current Formula One cars, you've got so much torque from the first few gears. But when you get to seventh and eighth gear, it kind of tapers down a little bit and you kind of reach terminal velocity in a way. But in Mika's car, in the V8s and the V10s, that V10 car, you were in sixth gear. And the thing is still pulling. Like, it's just...
Wow. That's incredible. What an experience. And of course, as we mentioned, Laguna Seca, that's iconic stateside. Let's talk quickly about pit stops, being that we're on pit lane and we're hearing guns and whatnot out there. The difference of an F1 and IndyCar pit stop is there are some differences, right? Here in F1, McLaren has the record at 1.8 seconds. Meanwhile, IndyCar, I think Arrow McLaren pulled a 5.5 second pit stop. Both very quick. I can't imagine doing what the guys
3.9.
do.
3.9.
Boom.
It's getting quicker. Every
I'll tell
time
you
we
why.
Speak.
I'll tell you why. So, IndyCar, you have to refuel. And that refuel time takes, if it's a full tank, it's 6.5 seconds if the fuel probe went in like perfectly. What I think is actually amazing in IndyCar is there is one guy per wheel. One guy with one wheel gun has to take off the current tire, drop it, grab another one, put it on, and grab the gun and put it on. And they do that in 3.9 seconds. One guy per tire. In F1, you've got three guys per tire.
Yeah, like, one loosens, one tightens the wheel nuts, one takes the old tire off, one puts the new tire on.
Yeah.
In IndyCar, a guy
does
or
everything.
Girl does all of that. Everything. Yes. I think they need three times the pay, really. That's how I do
it. I imagine they
agent.
Would.
That's what I say.
Yeah, they're doing three times the job.
But no, they I do think, a pretty good job.
I think it's crazy. And I mean, I can't remember in F1 when there was refueling. It was a really long time ago. But, you know, fuel was, what, 6-7 seconds. Some fuel stops were 6-7 seconds. So, yeah, I think IndyCar pit stops have a chance to be in the 3 seconds with just having that one guy do it. But you're always refueling.
So. Yeah, and that's one of the key differences between IndyCar and Formula One is that Formula One used to have in-race refueling many years ago, doesn't anymore. IndyCar still does. And that's just differing between different race series. There's plenty of other series that make those comparisons. Peto, you've driven at Formula One circuits, I believe, Spain, Austria and Abu Dhabi. Am I right in those? Are they ones that you've been in the car in?
Yes, correct. I did a test in Austria as well.
Austria, yeah. Fantastic.
Oh, no, did you say Austria?
I said Austria.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
it.
That
beautiful,
beautiful
green track over there.
Oh, Red
in
Bull
the hills.
Rings.
Gorgeous.
Oh, my God.
Beautiful.
Red Bull ring is
yeah.
fantastic. Yeah.
You touched upon this a little earlier in the podcast, but how do IndyCar tracks compare with Formula One tracks?
IndyCar's gnarly, man. Like, that's the best way I can explain it.
Honest,
F1 is very posh. I wouldn't say maybe Baku. Like, Baku definitely is a bit more of a IndyCar spec. But if IndyCar were to go to Baku, it'd be Baku with not a smooth road, I would say. In the cars,
sure.
You just see the cars bottoming out a lot harsher. But I would say the rest of the Formula One tracks are quite a bit more. They're just bigger facilities, and they've got more room for, you know, for runoff and all that. In IndyCar, it's just some of the tracks that we go to are freaking gnarly. I don't know if you guys have seen, but like some of them are like,
got some nodding.
Why are we
yeah, why
here?
Are we here?
Yeah, some of them definitely don't seem like we should be racing there, but well,
but
we
hey.
End up making it work.
Another comparison there is Formula E as well, which again does a lot of street circuits. So there's another one with Formula E where drivers say the same thing there, and there's been crossover between Formula One drivers and Formula E drivers where some of these F1 drivers, they don't know they're born with their big, smooth, beautiful circuit of the Americas compared to the more gnarly ones.
Then, of course, we're talking about the tracks. Recently, we did have an episode on schedules and how they're put together. By the way, that's one puzzle that I am really glad I'm not the person behind.
Yeah,
the,
I don't fancy that job.
No. Don't want to be that person. It's a huge job to get the schedule out for F1. When you look ahead to the schedule and or some of these tracks, which is your favorite? I mean, you mentioned Austria being...
Yeah, I mean, I try not to be biased, but I love going to Mexico just because, you know, I don't get to race there. So even just seeing... all of the fans is super, super special. But there's so many great tracks on the calendar. I know a lot of these guys enjoy Spa. I know Spa is pretty badass. and like, there's just these cars on these high commitment tracks. There's a lot of like, when I see Saudi looks
yeah
badass.
And that like, that's quick.
Yeah, Saudi looks so cool. So like, there's a lot of tracks when I'm watching. I remember watching earlier in the year, I was watching Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I thought qualifying was sped up because
really?
I was like, what? Like, the
how
speed that you carry around some of these. It's because I feel like people see the onboard laps and it's like, oh, you know, that's just the cars have a lot of grip. But I, like, to me, I would love for people to feel what that feels like because it looks so slow. on the onboard lap in the car with all the G, like you go from 6 G's one side to 6 G's the other side within less than a second, and it's just, it's unbelievable what these cars can do and what you go through and what you feel. Yeah. And it feels like 10 times faster.
Us normal folk don't get that opportunity. And I think the amount of times, and at least this show I know, we've tried to have people describe it for us just to get a sense of it. And there's just like no fair rides don't compare. Like the teacups.
Anybody that's been on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
But just imagine a roller coaster going in S's three times the speed.
Yeah,
what it's going to be like. It's because it feels like it's on rails.
You're obviously sat here in your papaya McLaren colours.
Representing.
I nearly called it orange then, Katie. You can't call it orange. People get incredibly cross. It's it's
papaya.
Not orange. It's papaya. You're a big part of the McLaren family. Tell us how McLaren works across the two different race series, Formula One and IndyCar, for those who aren't aware.
I mean, it's obviously F1 is the biggest umbrella in McLaren racing. IndyCar, I would say, is the second biggest. And there is a lot of crossover from, you know, sometimes engineers and mechanics in F1 actually want to come to IndyCar.
Sure.
And vice versa. So there's a lot of, I would say, ins and outs that, you know, that guys within the family can kind of move around and, you know, see possibilities elsewhere. I would say driver-wise as well. You know, I'm super grateful that I get to, you know, kind of be within both teams. And it's a great family, really. We all try and help each other in every way we can, but obviously every series is very different. So just because it works in F1 doesn't mean it's going to work in IndyCar, because the way you work in IndyCar is different to F1. And I think there's things F1 can learn from IndyCar, and I think there's things from F1 that IndyCar can learn from. So I think it's always important to evolve and not kind of stick to your ways and always say, you know, we found the best way. You never know. There's always an evolution of everything.
Before we go here, because this is a podcast that takes questions from others, do anybody out here have a question for Pato?
I'm going to go and see this gentleman here. He's wearing a fantastic yellow and blue shirt. Hello, sir. What's your name and where do you come from?
Aaron from Austin here in town.
Oh, we love Austin. I absolutely adore this place.
Christian would move here if he could.
I would move here in a heartbeat. Have you got a spare room?
Have you been here in the summer yet?
No. Okay, great point.
It's very hot, eh? Very hot.
What's your question for this gentleman here?
So, Pato, from someone who runs a simulator racing league.
Okay.
What kind of advice would you give random sim racers who are passionate, who want to be faster and learn more?
Oh, man. I would say jump in anything that you can, whether it's on a sim or in real life. I feel like, you know, for me, something that really helped my skill, you know, kind of get better and better was driving all these different cars, like, you know, road cars, supercars, Formula One cars.
A very accomplished
cars,
driver, like too, in those different cars.
Just so many different, you know, opportunities. And every car likes something different. And I feel like when you start kind of learning how to read that, your ability to adapt becomes so much quicker. So, for example, when I actually finally, hopefully, get my chance in F1... I actually think that's going to be the biggest thing, is just everything that I've been able to drive, you'll be able to adapt so much quicker and faster. And if you do that, you will show better, quicker, and people will be like, let's give him a chance. And I feel like that's what gave me the chance in IndyCar, because I had one race to show, basically, and took advantage of it.
So thank you so much for your question. Fantastic question. And we've got to let him go because he's a busy man on a busy race weekend. But ladies and gentlemen of the F1 Garage, please show your appreciation for Pato O'Ward.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Thank you, Pato.
Such a pleasure having you. Thank you so much. Do come back on again in future. And to all of you guys here in the F1 Garage, we are F1 Explains. To anyone listening at home, please send us your questions for future episodes. It's F1Explains@F1.com. We have new episodes every Friday. And of course, don't forget to check out F1's other official podcasts, Beyond the Grid and F1 Nation.
That's absolutely right. Thank you guys so much. And from Coda, Pato's literally out of its chair and almost out the door.
No, it's because I need to go drive some partners in Pirelli Hot Laps, eh?
Let's
go
do it.
Do your Hot Laps. We won't let you.
All right, I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, one more time for Pato O'Ward.